And I had the privilege the other day. I was so privileged the other day. I was asked by a PhD from Southwestern to come and speak in his class to a bunch of men that are working on their master's and their PhDs. I was extremely honored, let me tell you. I went down there and I spoke to those men an hour and a half. Had a great day, Southwestern, biggest seminary in the country. I mean, it's a great, big, beautiful seminary. All these wonderful men and women of God going to that place. And we talked, and one of the men sitting over here on a big, wide place, bigger than this wide, and several 40, 50, 60 men in there and women. And one man sitting over here said, I have a question. As I'm talking about healing, that's what they want me to talk about. And he said, what are you going to do when you get sick and die? I said, number one, I ain't going there with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, I ain't going to get sick. I'm never going to confess that with my mouth. Never. I said, I've been well for 25 years. Not had one single sick day for 25 years. I said, anything that works, you don't break it. You don't change it. And I said, so God promised me in His Word that He would take all sickness away from me if I obey Him. So I said, I'm going to do everything I can to obey Him. And so I said, and one of them is not claiming that I'm going to get sick and die. I said, now I may die someday, but I said, it's going to be a long ways down the road. And when I do die, I am going to be translated out here. I'm not going out here with sickness and disease. Because I said, the way I read the book, no sickness comes upon you until you sin. And I don't want to sin. I want to walk holy in His presence. And so it's amazing. Then another young man back here in the corner, he said, well, I got to ask you a question. He said, I had an uncle. He's a Baptist deacon. And he was the greatest man I ever knew. He was holy. He walked in obedience to God's word. Said he'd come down with cancer. And we all prayed over him. And he died. What's wrong? I said, there was sin. There was sin somewhere. You know, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. But this book says if we walk holy and do everything He says, He will take all sickness away from us. Did He not? So there's got to be a sin. And you know what the sin usually is? Unbelief. Unbelief. That is one of the major killers in the church today, the sin of unbelief. I mean, when you see people that take a promise. In fact, I'm going to show you a promise not only in Galatians 3:13, do we have this breaking the curse? But I want to take you to a guarantee in James 5:14-15 that this is what God revealed to me, the very first man I ever saw get healed of terminal cancer. This is a scripture God gave me to pray for this man. But James 5:14, look what it says here. We've got the King James up here. It says, is any sick among you? Now, technically speaking, we're talking, James is talking to the church. If he's talking to the believers, the body of believers, and he says, is any sick among you, who's he talking to? Anybody that's sick, is that right? Anybody that's sick. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of unbelief might save the sick. That's not what it said, would it, Betty? That's not what it said at all. So why do we read it like that? Why do we quote it like that? Why do we come up and say, oh, God, now I'm an elder of the church. This woman come to us, wants us to pray over her. Now, Lord, if it be your will you please heal her when I anoint her with oil? Does that sound like a prayer that meets this word?
She said it's always His will.
You're learning that, though, aren't you? Yes. If you know that, that's when she called, said, would you pray over me? I'm sick. I anoint her with oil, pour a little oil on her, say, in the name of Jesus, you devil of hell, come out and healed in the name of Jesus. It's done. Praise God. I guarantee it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, does that sound like you prayed it in faith?
Amen.
That sounds a little more like it. It says, and the prayer of faith might? Is there any difference between might and shall?
Yeah.
And their prayer of faith shall save the sick, and Bill shall raise him up. Oh, that's not what he said, is it, Bill? It says the Lord will raise him up, right? I mean, can we think of a better doctor than him? No. And the Lord shall raise him up. And look at this wonderful promise. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And I guarantee there's a sin issue, you know. But that scripture says, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now let's go to the next couple of verses and see what verse 16 and 17 says. Confess your faults. Now here we're talking about sin, aren't we? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So is it necessary to confess our sins one to another? Yes. Maybe. What is our sin? Maybe it's just unbelief. You know, we walk in and say, I have diabetes. I want you to pray for my diabetes. I have diabetes. I wonder how many times we've said that. How many times I had people come say, I have cancer, my cancer. I want you to pray for my cancer. I am so weak, I can't stand up. Would you pray for my weakness? Start quoting what the Word says. Instead of saying, I am so weak, I can't walk, start saying, the Lord is my strength. Amen. Now, every time you said, I'm so weak, every time you say, the Lord is my strength, that kicks one of them off. That kicks another one. The Lord is my strength. So you start way down here on the bottom and say, the Lord is my strength. And by the time the day's over, you've said that 100 times. By this time now, you're getting where you can kind of walk around kind of gently. But maybe if you were to count the times you said, I am so weak, or my cancer, or my diabetes, I wonder how many times we've said that in our life. Lots, haven't we? But see, every time we do that, we're sinning. We don't believe the Word. We don't believe Jesus done what He said He done. So, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Before we go to Proverbs 18, let's look at this. It says, after we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now then, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, I think about some of the times and how simple I have prayed a prayer and saw God do some awesome miracles. Like Johnny Brumfield. That was such a simple little prayer. I mean, I knelt down in front of him and I said, sir, what's wrong with you? And he told me about his knees being all crushed in an incident 21 months before. And he had all them steel pins and bolts and all that stuff. And he couldn't walk a lick. I said, but God's Word says in John 14:13-14, anything I ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He'll do it for you. I said, do you believe it? He said, sir, I'm a Baptist. And if it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, whoa. I said, that's the kind of faith God's looking for. Now, do you think he was serious in his heart? Obviously, he was. Because I just knelt down in front of him, laid my hands on him two knees, said, Father, in the name of Jesus, give him 2 new knees. I said, thank you, Lord. Now, that's not a long prayer, is it? You think God was there and heard that day? He sure was. I said, you believe that, brother? He said, I do. I said, then take that steel off of you and throw it away and stand up. He acted. He took that steel off and throwed it out. Tucked him, his legs are straight out. Unstrapped all that stuff, throwed it off on the floor. I said, now pull them legs up under you. So he pulled him up there. I said, now then stand up. I reached down and grabbed his hand and jerked him up. And when I did, he come up and he said, oh, brother, it hurts. I said, I know it's going to hurt. The devil's going to do everything he can to make it hurt. But I said, get away from that unbelief and doubt. I said, take a step. And I forced him. I jerked him. I said, come on. And he liked this. And then I took another one and another one. After 3 steps, I said, you're healed. You're on your own. You can walk. And he walked around that podium and it got faster and faster. And the third time he come out behind it, threw his hands straight up, went running down that aisle screaming, God is awesome. He is awesome, isn't he? Now, what can God do? Anything we don't limit him by with unbelief. I mean, that's our limitations. Unbelief. He's made us the promises in His Word. We just don't believe Him. But He says there, The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Somebody says, oh, God, I wished I could be righteous. Well, then you won't ever get no prayers answered like that. You got to realize, hey, I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I am righteous because of what He done. Anytime I say I am not righteous, I am reaching up and spitting in the face of the King and saying what you did for me wasn't good enough. Somebody says, are you righteous? Your answer should be yes. Absolutely, I am righteous. Why are you righteous? Because of what the King did for me on that cross. He paid the price. It's by faith in Him that I do what I do. It's not my faith, it's His faith. But it's by faith in the righteous one of God, Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It says that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had the same things. He liked to eat, sleep, and do all the same things that we do. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's just a man. But he prayed. And then let's see what happened, verse 18 and 19. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, when he was praying there, did he just pray one time that it would rain? No, he prayed 7 times, didn't he? And then he saw a little bitty cloud out there, about like a man's hand. In other words, when you pray the first time, if it don't happen, pray again. Somebody said, well, if you pray again, you pray in unbelief. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, because he prayed 7 times before it happened. Maybe he did pray the first 6 times in unbelief. I don't know, but he didn't give up, did he, Bill? He kept praying, and when he did, it worked. Then look at verse 19 and 20. We'll just read those while we're here. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. Now, when we see a brother that's doing something that's not according to God's Word, now, of course, if you're not in the Word, you don't know whether they're sinning or not. But if you're studying the Word, it's easy to pick up on people's sins. And some of the places you pick up on people's sins, it's like you walk in a good church like I used to go to. Good morning, sister. How are you doing? Oh, Thurman, I'm not doing good at all.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.